Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, it's Chaz Mostert here, and yes, I'm inside your speaker. I'm in here because I have a special message for you from Clayton in Melbourne. If you're a club, state, or national racer on the circuit or on the dirt in Speedway or rallying, you can now tap into the know-how of Walkinshaw Racing Services, and you don't need a supercar to get in the door. The same expertise that's won multiple Bathurst 1000s and V8 Supercar Championships is now available for you to call upon. From bonnet to bumper, WRS can help you with engines, design, paint, machining, fabrication, and so much more for all sorts of makes, models, and categories. Have a chat with Walkinshaw Racing Services and tell them what matters to you. Call now on 1300 W Racing or email services@walkinshawracing.com.au.
A Motorsport Podcast Network production.
G'day race fans, welcome to the Motorsport News Podcast. I'm your host Will Dale and here's what's making headlines this week. All roads lead to Taupo for supercars this weekend, but there's some big news on the Enduro wildcard front. Matt Charter's application to race a wildcard entry at the Sandown 500 and Bathurst 1000 has been approved by Supercars. The Super 2 veteran made his main game debut with a Bathurst wildcard 2 years ago with Jalen Robotham in a Holden Commodore, and he'll be in a GM product again this year, leased from either 888 or Brad Jones Racing. No word yet on his co-driver, though. And speaking of 888, on Friday night, the covers came off its super cheap auto-backed wildcard, and they also announced that Cooper Murray will have a wildcard start at Hidden Valley before being joined by Craig Lowndes for the Enduros. Meantime, the full-time supercars field has winged its way to New Zealand, the 24 cars departing Avalon Airport near Melbourne on the weekend to make the journey across the Tasman. Opening practice starts on Friday with a 90-minute session, but the cars will be driving on the public roads on Thursday for a track-to-town parade. There was plenty of action at the Ford Mustang 60 Years-sponsored Race Phillip Island Speed Series round over the weekend, and it was a belter for the Blue Oval, with George Medici and Rylan Gray giving the GT4 Ford Mustang its first pole position anywhere in the world before making off with both of the race wins in the GT4 Series season opener. In TCR, Brad Harris took a maiden round win by sweeping Sunday's sprints. Benny Barguana followed him home in the finale and hangs on to the points lead by 7 over Zach Sutar. James Golding took out the Trans Am Series round over Nash Morris and Todd Hazelwood. Golding now leads the standings from James Moffat, who won the opener and was on track to win the round until a power steering failure in race 3. While GT World Challenge Australia, honours were split between Italy and Germany. Chas Mostert and Liam Talbot gave Arise Racing's new Ferrari 296 GT3 a debut win in race 1, while Brad Leach and Tim Miles won race 2 for Audi, and both entries are tied at the top of the standings. The final round of the Australian Rally Championship has a new home for 2024. Rally Tasmania is moving northwest from Launceston this year to Burnie. The renamed Buckby Motors Rally of Tasmania will run from November 22 to 24. Overseas now, and Fernando Alonso will race on in Formula 1 until he's at least 46 years old. He's penned a new deal with Aston Martin that will take him through to the end of the 2026 season, and it'll also reunite him with Honda Engines, with the Japanese company becoming the team's power unit supplier that season. MotoGP was in Texas last weekend, and no one stood taller than Maverick Vinales. The Aprilia rider won both the sprint and the GP at the Circuit of the Americas to thrust himself right into title contention. He won the GP the hard way, recovering from as low as 11th to be in second place behind Marc Marquez, then took over the point when the Gresini Ducati rider crashed out. Joining Vinales on the podium in the GP was that man, Pedro Acosta, again in just his third MotoGP weekend, don't forget. And factory Ducati rider Ennio Bastianini. Jorge Martin still leads the points from Bastianini and Vinales, with Acosta an incredible fourth, with reigning champ Pecco Bagnaia fifth after his nightmare round in Portimao last time out. Meanwhile, in Moto3, Joel Kelso moved up to third in the championship with seventh place at COTA, one spot ahead of countryman Jacob Rawlstone. And in NASCAR, Hendrick Motorsport extended its winning streak as one of its drivers broke a personal losing streak. Chase Elliott took his first win of the Cup Series season at Texas Motor Speedway. It's been 42 races since the 2022 Series champion hoisted a points race trophy. In the Xfinity Series, Shane Van Gisbergen raced his way from a lowly qualifying position to 18th place at the checkered flag. Meanwhile, at the front of the field, just 0.002 of a second separated winner Sam Meyer and second-placed Ryan Sieg, tying the record for the second closest margin of victory in Xfinity Series history. Joining me for this week's edition of the Motorsport News Podcast is Tickford Autosport's young gun, Rylan Gray, who, as you heard in the headlines, had a pretty good weekend at Phillip Island. He shared the GT4 Series wins with George Medici in the brand new GT4 Ford Mustang. He's also got a pretty exciting year ahead racing in Super 2 for Tickford Autosports, of course, the junior team for Tickford Racing. And he has gotten off to an absolute flyer of a start to that season, which we talk about, along with how he got into motorsport in the first place and just what kind of mentoring the Tickford Autosports program delivers.
Rylan, Phillip Island one weekend. Now you're in New Zealand and you're off to Taupo for the supercars round. You just watching, or you brought your helmet and kit bag as well?
Yeah, I thought I'd just come over to Taupo for the weekend. I've got a couple of mates racing in the 86 series. So yeah, it should be a pretty fun weekend and supporting the Tickford guys as well.
So winding back to last weekend, you took a pair of wins in the new GT4 Ford Mustang with George Medici at Phillip Island. How did that drive come about?
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. So my dad raced there at Ute probably 10 years ago now, and he raced against George back then. And yeah, they become good friends through that. And yeah, just stayed in touch and became good family friends. So yeah, when the opportunity arose to drive with him, obviously we grabbed it with both hands, and it was fantastic, you know, especially to be associated with Ford for the weekend was pretty cool.
I mean, it gave him a pretty good headline on the Ford Mustang 60 years race weekend to take home a couple of Ford Mustang victories.
Yeah, it was a great weekend, to be honest. Everything ran pretty smoothly, and to come away with two wins and the first global pole for the brand new TT for Ford Mustang is pretty cool.
You've driven the production class Mustang in the 6 hour previously. How does a new car compare to that?
Yeah, it's quite different, to be honest. You drive the production car and it's a lot of horsepower and no grip because of the different tires, and then you jump in the brand new GT4 car and it's pretty amazing to drive, really. It all went pretty good. The car was good. It was just a pretty magical weekend, to be honest. Everything sort of fell in line.
So was this just a one-off run for you, or are you with George in the car for the rest of the season?
So hopefully I should be in the car with George for the rest of the season, and yeah, hopefully we can keep the results up for the next five rounds, and hopefully we be there at the end of the championship.
So tell me a bit about your background in the sport. I mean, you mentioned that your dad Jeremy races. Is that what got you into it?
A little bit. When I first started in motorsport completely, when I was two years old, riding motocross. So I started there on the dirt and did that from 2 years old up till 13. And I also got a brother who races motocross as well, and he still does today. And he's had a couple of injuries throughout his time, and tried to make the switch for him to come to cars, and he didn't sort of like it. So I sort of took up that role, and I enjoyed it straight away, and sort of had a bit of a natural talent in it, which was great to sort of step in a car and be all right at it straight away. And yeah, I hopped into an XL when I was 14. It was pretty cool. My first race weekend was actually on my birthday. So my birthday was on the Saturday, which allowed me to race for the weekend. So I got pretty lucky with that. And yeah, just continued on with that for a year and a half, and then made the switch to the 86 season. So jumped in them. Had a pretty alright season, but yeah, did the New Zealand 86s as well. So come over to NZ and did that, and fortunately we won the 86 Rookie Championship, which gave us the opportunity to go to the Nürburgring and race the GT4 Supra in Germany. So that was a pretty cool prize, and yeah, it was it was quite surreal to be so young and to race overseas as well, and especially with a factory Toyota team. So yeah, I think I've enjoyed my time along the way. It's been pretty cool. I've done some pretty cool stuff along the way so far. And yeah, this year I've signed up with Tickford Racing to do the Super 2 season, and we just had our first round a month or two ago at Bathurst. And yeah, I had a pretty positive weekend, to be honest. We had a pretty good qualifying and races, and we came away fourth in the championship. So I'm pretty happy, and hopefully we can continue that to Perth.
I'll come back to the Super 2 and all the Tickford Autosport stuff in a sec, but I want to go back to your Germany trip, because do I understand right that there were, like, you got a tour of a Toyota factory and had a run at a simulator as well?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We first got over there and we went to the race team factory and got equipped with the cars. And yeah, after the race weekend, we got to the Toyota factory, which was pretty amazing, to be honest. It's where they ran the old F1 team out of, so it's absolute massive facility, and it was pretty cool. They had some of the old F1 cars there, which was pretty cool to look at, and some of the hypercars they've got there, which I was blown away by, like, the facility they've got there, the amount of people they have there. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it sounds it. So what did you have a run on in the simulator? Was that the GT4 car that you ran at the Nürburgring?
Yeah, had a little go at that, ran it to get a little bit prepared. So yeah, we went into the weekend feeling pretty confident, and I think we did pretty well.
As you said, back at home this year, you're part of Tickford Autosports. You actually had a run with them in Super 3 in Adelaide last year, and did a couple of test days as well prior to that. How big a jump was it going from the older car into a Gen 2 Mustang for this year?
It was a little bit of a jump. So I did probably 7 test days in the FTX to get equipped with a supercar, because it's obviously very different to anything you'll drive before. But yeah, I think the first test day in the Mustang, it was very different in a way, as the aero works between the different cars. So you've got to sort of tweak your driving style to suit the car a bit better. But I didn't find it too bad. I've sort of jumped between cars my whole career so far. I've probably driven 7-8 different cars, so I've been quite acquainted with trying to adapt to new cars pretty quickly.
How was that very first test in the FGX as well? Would that have been the biggest horsepower car you'd have been in to that point?
Yeah, it would have been. Actually, it was quite surreal, to be honest. You roll into Winton with the Tickford truck, and you see your supercar there, and it's a pinch yourself moment, you know, to drive a supercar. And I got pretty lucky, and it was wet the whole day, so that was quite fun. First time in, and it was wet, so. Yeah, it was a bit of a tough introduction, but you know, we just took it slow and got used to it, and yeah, I think we did a good job.
So you mentioned before, fourth overall in the standings after the Mount Panorama Super 2 round. Did it surprise you to be that fast so quick relative to everyone else?
A little bit, to be honest with you. I had a pretty positive test day, and I racked up pretty good against my teammates Brad Vaughan and Lockie Dalton, so we sort of worked together to boost ourselves forward. And yeah, I ran the weekend before the Super 2 round in the 12-hour in a Mark car Mustang. So yeah, I got some laps the week before, which was really good, actually, to get some laps at Bathurst before the big season debut. And yeah, I felt pretty confident, to be honest, coming out of the 12-hour weekend, just confident with the track. And I was pretty confident in the car. So yeah, I think we had a lot of positives that weekend. You know, we were fourth in the championship after the first round, which is great. But yeah, I think we could have maximized Sunday a little bit. I didn't really have a great qualifying, but we fought our way forward in the race to finish fifth. So a fourth and a fifth in the races come away pretty well. So I was pretty happy, and I was pretty happy with my engineer Baden as well. He did a fantastic job that weekend.
I knew you'd been up there before in your 86, and you'd done that 6 hour in a Mustang. So was going to the 12 hour and having a run in that Mark car, was that intentional to make sure that you were up to speed in a high horsepower car before going there in Super 2?
Yeah, it was a little bit, to be honest. We had a chat with the guy that owns the car, Axel Donison, from he races Mark cars, and yeah, we put a deal together, and I think it was definitely a positive to run it the week before in such a high horsepower car. So I enjoyed the 12 hour. It was definitely a different experience, you know, going to town, doing science sessions and stuff. So that was cool. And yeah, I 100% reckon it sort of gave me a bit of a boost on the field to run there the week before. And I think that showed with how we went.
So tell me a bit about what sort of things they do with you in the Tickford Autosport sort of mentoring program, because you mentioned all the test days you did. I've seen photos of Thomas Randall out with you at Sydney Motorsport Park. So how does it all work? What sort of access do they give you to help speed up your development?
Yeah, so they've actually put a lot of development into the Autosport program this year. They've sort of, since they've gone to two cars, they've put a lot of focus into their Super 2 program to sort of help us a bit more. So yeah, they at the start of the year we had a training session, so they made sure our fitness was up to standard as you would in Super 2. You need to be quite fit. So yeah, we did a training day with them 2 days down in Melbourne, bit of a team bonding as well, which is pretty cool. And yeah, you go to a test day, you can have either Thomas or Cam in the car to sort of help you out a bit. And especially on race weekends, it's quite good. If you've got a question that you need answering, you can go to Thomas or Cam at any time and they're happy to help. So it's good to have that access that some of the other Super 2 teams don't really have. So yeah, I think you just got to take it by both hands and sort of get as much out of it as you can. And yeah, it's been good to be involved with the main game team as well. It's just good to have the access to everyone and all the components necessary.
How are you getting along with your teammates?
Yeah, it's been quite good. I've sort of known Brad from last year, and we sort of got to know each other a bit there before I even started my season. But yeah, I only sort of met Lockie at the end of last year, and we sort of bonded pretty quickly. So it's good to have mates in your Super 2 team. You can joke around a bit and have a stab at each other every now and then. So yeah, I've been enjoying it quite a bit so far. So it's been good, to be honest, to have two teammates as well. You know, at the track, they'll help you out if you need a hand, and we can share data and notes and everything. So it's been quite positive.
Now, you're still only 17 years old, still in high school?
No, I actually have started a boiler making apprenticeship. So I'm on my third year of that. So doing a lot of fabrication and welding. So do stuff for mine sites and make stuff for them. So it's been good to sort of get a trade on the side as well to have a backup plan, so to say. So yeah, get you in the industry, get you working. So it's a bit easier with racing as well. If you're at school, you sort of got to catch back up to things you've missed. So yeah, I've been enjoying the boiler making thing a bit. So yeah, it's been good as well.
Just lastly, so what does the roadmap look like for you in the next couple of years? I mean, you're in Super 2 now in your first season of Super 2. Is a plan to get to supercars in the next couple of years, or are you looking at maybe doing more overseas? Where do you want to go?
Definitely the door's quite open. We're in the Super 2 now, so the focus would be main game with those steps. But with this GT4 thing coming along, we sort of opened our eyes to overseas a little bit. So it would definitely be cool to go over there and race. You know, it'd be a dream to race overseas. You know, not many people get that opportunity. And yeah, especially with Ford coming along, that gives you that opportunity. So hopefully I can just do well and sort of get over there. And yeah, but yeah, the focus would be main game at the moment, and just try to get there and focus on that. But yeah, anything that comes, I'm sure I'll take a stab at it.
A big thank you to Rylan Gray for joining me for a chat on the Motorsport News podcast this week, and also to his dad, Jeremy, and Ford Australia for helping facilitate the chat. Now, before we go, a reminder to check out our teammates' podcasts here on the MN podcast feed. Tomorrow, Peter and Luke Whitten from Rally Sport Magazine are back with a new episode of the Special Stage Rally podcast. And don't forget to search out their other podcast, Dust Trails, which we relaunched last weekend, and is available to listen to for free for the first time. And of course, our other teammates, the Brad Jones Racing Rundown, Macaulay Jones and BJR General Manager Chris Westwood, are back later this week for a big preview of all the action at Taupor. But for now, I'm Will Dale, and I'll catch you next time on the Motorsport News Podcast.
Hey, it's Chaz Mostard here, and yes, I'm inside your speaker. I'm in here because I have a special message for you from Clayton in Melbourne. If you're a club, state, or national racer on the circuit or on the dirt in Speedway or rallying, you can now tap into the know-how of Walkinshaw Racing Services, and you don't need a supercar to get in the door. The same expertise that's won multiple Bathurst 1000s and V8 Supercar Championships is now available for you to call upon. From bonnet to bumper, WRS can help you with engines, design, paint, machining, fabrication, and so much more for all sorts of makes, models, and categories. Have a chat with Walkinshaw Racing Services and tell them what matters to you. Call now on 1300 W Racing or email services@walkinshawracing.com.au.